Anyone who's taken children for a checkup expects the doctor to ask how their kids are sleeping and whether they're eating enough vegetables. But has the pediatrician ever asked about gun safety? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're going to talk now about efforts in Ohio to encourage doctors to have conversations with their patients designed to prevent shooting injuries and deaths. Joining me now are Vice President of the Ohio Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics and Medical Director for Store It Safe, Dr. Sarah Denny. Welcome, Dr. Denny.
Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate you covering such an important topic.
Well, thank you. Cincinnati Children's co-lead of digital simulation for the Center for Simulation and Research, Dr. Matt Zakoff. Thanks for being here, Dr. Zakoff.
Very excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Black Wing Shooting Center Director of Shooting Sports, Joe King. Welcome to the program, Joe.
Thank you, Lucy. Happy to be here today.
Dr. Zakoff, how many children are injured or killed each year by firearms? How big a problem is this?
Yeah, so I think the data that got this on a lot of people's radar outside folks that have been in the injury prevention space for a while was from 2020, when that was the year where firearm-related injuries in children and adolescents bypassed all other sources of a pediatric death. So that was 4,300 children a year, and so that's 60 school buses a year, 5 school buses a month.
Mm. And Dr. Denny, how common has it been for pediatricians to talk with families about firearm safety?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we don't really know. We know that it's really important to talk about safety in general. Injury is the leading cause of death in kids over the age of one. So, you know, you mentioned some of the things that we often ask about during the pediatric visit, and gun safety is just one more thing that we know we need to be talking about. And the goal of what we're trying to do with our coalition and with the Ohio AAP in partnership with Dr. Zakoff and Joe at Blackwing is really trying to educate providers on how to have those conversations in a meaningful way so that it is a normal part of every well-child visit, whether we're talking about small children or if we're talking about our adolescents.
And Joe, I was just looking at the website for the American Academy of Pediatrics. This is the national organization, and it says the safest home is one without firearms. How do you think a parent who owns guns might react to that kind of approach to the conversation?
Now, that's a fair question. I suppose I can answer in the space that I live in, which is, you know, working at a gun shop. And, you know, if you spent some time in here, you would just realize that, you know, our mission is to grow the sport. We talk very often, whether it be classes or gun sales or shooting on the range, safety is paramount, and just trying to educate the people who do choose to, you know, own firearms, how to be a responsible firearm owner.
Sure. We're talking about how pediatricians can approach conversations about gun safety with families. Has your pediatrician ever asked about guns in your home? We want to hear from you. Call 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org. So, Dr. Denny, I mentioned that what the American Academy of Pediatrics says on their website. What does the Ohio chapter recommend in terms of how doctors talk about firearms? My understanding is the approach is a little bit different.
Yeah, so, you know, we really try to have a really open, non-judgmental conversation about the safety of the child. And to Joe's point, with this coalition, we all agree that we want to keep kids safe around guns. So if you have a gun in your home, we want to help you keep your child safe. If you don't have a gun in your home, your child probably is spending time in a home where there is a gun present. So regardless of the situation, we just want to have some really open, honest conversations to educate families on the safest way to keep their kids safe.
Dr. Zakoff, can it be uncomfortable for pediatricians to have that conversation? I mean, it sounds like the Ohio Academy is saying, hey, you know, there are lots of injuries, there are dangerous chemicals, there are prescription medicines. You have to talk about keeping your kids safe. But for doctors who aren't owners of firearms or who haven't interacted with them, how difficult or challenging can that conversation be?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And that kind of led us to getting this space. And this isn't something that we were taught in school. Now, we're actively working to change that right now. But for everyone who's out there in practice, this, you didn't get trained on how to have these conversations. You didn't learn about the different storage devices. So we're playing catch up, and you're having conversations with families that you're forming relationships with. And so the last thing you want to do is say something that makes them uncomfortable, put your foot in the mouth, break that relationship. And so the natural thing to do is avoid talking about it. And so our work to date has been, how do we create a safe environment for people to practice having this conversation, to learn the techniques and skills, so that when they're faced with that opportunity in real life, they have a frame of reference to build off of.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about that practice. It involves virtual reality, which is always sounds super cool. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Dr. Denny, without the benefit of virtual reality for other pediatricians, what do you all recommend? How do you start that conversation and make it part of the conversation, just like, you know, dangerous chemicals, prescription drugs, that sort of thing? Is there language that the Ohio chapter of the AAP is recommending?
Yes, definitely. And I can go over a couple of the key principles. And I would also share that we partner with Dr. Zakoff and his team to provide that virtual reality training to our pediatricians who are participating in our quality improvement project. So that's been a really awesome partnership. And we've gotten great feedback on how that role playing through virtual reality really helps them feel more comfortable. But, taking a step back for pediatricians, and really this isn't just for pediatricians, this is really for family practice or even physicians who are taking care of children in a different kind of setting, is number one, just approach this conversation as part of your normal safety talk. When people go to the doctor, they are expecting some discussion around child safety, whether we're talking about car seats or seatbelts or medication. So including this as just a normal part of that conversation. The other thing is, you know, in the state of Ohio, more than half of the homes do contain a firearm. So instead of coming at it from a, do you have a firearm, or assuming they don't have a firearm, kind of flip that narrative and come into the conversation assuming that they do have a firearm. And instead of asking directly, do you own a gun, which seems a little bit, could seem a little bit aggressive, just saying, you know, if you have a gun in the home, is it kept locked and away from children? And I use that terminology really specifically, as opposed to, is it stored safely? Because what is safe, that what you consider to be safe may not be what I consider safe. So I don't consider, you know, under the mattress, in the bedside nightstand, on top of the refrigerator safe, but someone else might. So I'm really specific about the words I use when I'm talking about securing a firearm.
Joe, how has Black Wing helped with educating healthcare providers about this? As I mentioned, not every healthcare provider is familiar with firearms or has experience with them. How have you helped in that way?
You know, it's great. And it goes right to what Sarah was saying. You know, numerous people that worked for Black Wing has been working on this partnership for a long time. And it really did start with, hey, let's understand the mindset of a lot of gun owners. And so the way she answered that question came from a lot of the conversation we had, where it's spread the, you know, the conversation out across safety in the home in general. Hey, do you have pools? You know, how do you store your medicines? You know, do you have firearms in the house? How do you store those? And then we talk often, especially recently, that, you know, safe storage, to her same point, can look different to everyone. So the way that she uses her language is just fantastic. And that's just stuff we've discussed. And it was great that a bunch of really smart doctors came and talked to people in the firearms industry to help understand the mindset and kind of the ideals of most gun owners.
Dr. Zakoff, let's come back to this virtual reality model. Explain the model that you and your team have developed at Cincinnati Children's. How does it work?
Sure. So we have a team of really talented developers at Cincinnati Children who created a virtual generic clinic environment where there are human characters or avatars or digital patients and parents that you can have a one-on-one conversation with. You can do it via a headset where you put the headset on, you're in that space. But we've also realized that to get it to as many people as possible, you can do it over a screen, so Zoom or anything like that. And so you log into the session, you're greeted by a human facilitator that welcomes you, explains the training, and then you get to practice over a series of cases having this conversation. And in between, given core skills on, just like Sarah said, about introducing the topic embedded into safety counseling, introducing it as asking about storage strategies available in the home, not asking, do you have a gun or not? And then talking about motivational interviewing strategies and learning some core knowledge around the different storage strategies that most people aren't familiar with.
Yeah. And how real does it feel? I mean, can you make a patient's parent mad if you ask the wrong way?
Yep. And so the virtual patients are controlled in the background. And so there's body language that you can change based on how the questions are stated or statements, how they respond goes down these pathways that we've established to ensure that it's a standard type of experience. But it then allows you to personalize it for what the learner needs and go back in and practice that. The goal is at the end of 30 to 45 minutes, they've done these cases, and they have this frame of reference on how to go down the pathway and a starting point as they continue to work on having these conversations with families.
And Dr. Zakoff, what kind of results have you seen using this approach? What kind of research have you been able to do to see how effective it is?
Yeah, and so our team, and then just to be clear, we were in collaboration with Massachusetts General Hospital Center for Gun Violence Prevention, and then the current curriculum is in partnership with the New England Journal of Medicine as well. But we've studied the curriculum itself with families and focus groups to make sure that the language we're using resonates with what they expect their pediatricians to be talking about and how to bring it up in a non-judgmental way. We've done usability testing with learners to make sure that it does feel immersive and realistic and the conversation feels natural. And then we've piloted it with resident physicians, so doctors in training in pediatrics, where they did a case with an actor practicing having this conversation. Half got the VR training, half got just a normal lecture. And then they did another training session with an actor, and then measured how they had those conversations. And it showed that those who went through the VR were way more comfortable and proficient talking about the different storage strategies, introducing the topic. We're now looking at documentation patterns of folks who've gone through the training to see how these conversations are happening, and are actively rolling it out to 10 medical schools across the country, where we'll be able to see much larger scale in terms of how the learners uptake the learning and eventually use it in practice.
Oh. Dr. Denny, Dr. Zakoff was just talking about focus groups. Joe was talking about how he worked with you all at the Ohio chapter of the AAP to really talk about that language. How important has it been for the Ohio chapter of the AAP to have Blackwing involved, to have some people involved who really understand firearms and the people who are, you know, purchasing and have firearms?
It's been absolutely critical. I think Joe and his team from Blackwing, we have Buckeye Firearms as partners. We have pediatricians who are gun owners. We have law enforcement all involved in this collaborative. And I think it's been so important from day one, that very initial meeting where we just listened to people talking about, you know, how do I feel when my doctor asks me about this? How do I feel when my doctor talks to me about gun safety? All the way, you know, to today, I can tell you Joe is reviewing always our materials, our posters. We want to make sure that we get every word right so that we're not making this a divisive political topic. It is just a simple safety topic. And so they are really, really important partners. You mentioned focus groups. All of our materials that we've developed in partnership with Blackwing and Buckeye Firearms and our suicide prevention partners, all of these have been focus grouped with adolescents, with teens, with a wide variety of people. So very intentional with our resources, with the language we use, and it couldn't be done without the input from everyone in our collaborative.
And Dr. Denny, you're here in your capacity, obviously, with the Ohio chapter of the AAP and Store It Safe, but have you had these conversations with your patients yourself? I mean, have you integrated this into discussions with families you serve?
Absolutely. So I spent years working in a pediatric emergency room where I would be taking care of kids who were in the middle of a mental health crisis. Now I'm in primary care where I'm counseling parents of young children, you know, our 2 and 3 year olds who are strong enough to pull a trigger, curious, they're mobile, they find anything. And then my adolescent patients who, you know, regardless of history of depression, a history of anxiety, history of suicide attempt, we really in our Store It Safe Learning Collaborative really talk about how it is important to have this discussion with every adolescent about restricting access to lethal means and, you know, locking things up, any sort of lethal means, whether it's a firearm, whether it's medication, locking it up can save a life.
What about you, Dr. Zakoff? Are these conversations that you have with patients that you see at Cincinnati Children's?
Yeah, so I'm a pediatric ICU doctor, so I spend the bulk of my time in the intensive care unit, and I unfortunately have these conversations or experience this on the back end when these accidental or intentional injuries have happened that more often than not, the kids can't recover from.
Oh.
But throughout my training, there was time in the clinic and outpatient where this would have been great to do during that training, but wasn't on my radar, never knew how to do it, but now can take advantage when I'm seeing patients for other reasons that are well, getting ready to leave the hospital, introducing those topics.
As a the work that you've done in the ICU, which has to be heartbreaking and just gut-wrenching, is that part of what inspired you to work on this virtual reality? Was that part of what drove you to, hey, what can we do about this?
Yeah, so I think I and a lot of my colleagues often felt very helpless in these situations, right, where you get called down to the emergency department and it's unfortunately another child who found a firearm and through no purposeful intent is now no longer with us, right? And so this was an area that felt like we could make a difference. And my academic area is in education and training. And so we've done this on other curriculums and other work to help work around recognition of critical illness, other topics. And we said, hey, why don't we apply the same theories as to how people learn and equip pediatricians to make a difference in this space where we're already trusted to be a source of knowledge, support, information, help families make the best decisions for their family.
Yeah. Joe, you talked about how important safety is for the work that you do at Black Wing Shooting Center. What advice do you give people who own firearms about the safest way to store them?
Sure. I mean, again, safe storage looks different for everyone. For example, you know, when I was a bachelor, you know, I would lock up my firearm when I wasn't taking it with me. But now as the father of an 11-year-old and a 1-year-old, safe storage looks much different for me. I lock all my firearms in the device that I chose so I can still get rapid access shall I need it. But I know that I've denied access to, you know, my children or any unauthorized users, including theft. But what probably comes up the most in my store and with the guests that I have conversations with is the conversation that, you know, you hear somebody say, well, I put it out of sight or I've hit it in the mattress, like Dr. Denny said, and just having the ability to have the conversation and educate them like, well, that might do it, but, and we can dig in and ask the questions and recommend products to safely store it. So we're doing it daily in this shop. And I love that the pediatricians are starting to ask these questions and educate gun owners as well.
And Joe, I was going to ask you if the advice that you give customers changes when there are children in the home. Certainly your idea of safe storage changed. Is that something you're really careful to point out that, hey, if kids live there or if you have kids visit or might have kids visit, you know, think through that?
Yeah, of course, especially when my staff has conversations and it's identified that, hey, this might be my first firearm purchase. You know, that's an opportunity for us to dig in. Okay, well, what's it look like at home? And what is the purpose that you're buying your firearm? And then, you know, we can recommend the products, whether it be this type of ammo, this cleaning kit, or please don't leave without this handgun lockbox. We have the opportunity every day, and we really do listen to the needs of our guests.
Dr. Denny, at the top of the conversation, you mentioned that there's not a lot of good research about how often pediatricians have these conversations with the families that they're, you know, serving. When do you think it will be common practice for pediatricians to talk about gun safety at wellness checks, just like they talk about car seats and sleep and vegetables?
We have some data just in the injury prevention literature that shows that, as Joe mentioned, we don't get a lot of training in injury prevention anticipatory guidance during our residency, or at least when he and I trained. And hopefully the graduating residents are getting more. We also know that pediatricians are less likely to talk about an issue if they don't feel comfortable on that issue. And so the more that we can educate our providers and do things like the VR training to make them more comfortable, then we'll see those discussions increase. And as part of our quality improvement program, that's one of the things we measure. So we measure baseline data around how often are you discussing restriction of access to lethal means? How often are you giving resources to families around safe storage? And then once they implement the quality improvement program, we follow that data to demonstrate that, yes, participating in these learning collaboratives, doing these learning sessions does increase those discussions. So we're continuing to try and spread that message to our pediatricians and our family physicians who are working with kids and increasing those discussions. And it's not just in the exam room, it's also within our institutions and it's within our communities as well.
Dr. Zakoff, is it becoming more common in your experience? Is it becoming something that comes up regularly?
Yeah, I think the biggest barriers, right, we talked about is how do I begin this conversation and then how do I fit it in into what already can feel like a really busy time and lots of things to talk about. And so as we roll this out, as we practice with people, and especially as we invest time in junior trainees of building that this is just how it's done, just like smoking cessation and other things, it becomes part of practice.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with Dr. Sarah Denny, Cincinnati Children's Dr. Matt Zakoff, and Blackwing Shooting Center Director of Shooting Sports, Joe King. Thank you all so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer, Selena Reeder. Technical director is Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thank you so much for listening.